This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky. That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
Ray Rowe.
It's brought to you tonight by our friends over at Sloman's. I'd like to start off today, if I can, and I will, by saying good evening to Michael.
Diabetes.
I'd like to say good evening to Don.
He was in the pool, and it was startling.
That's not how you want to be described. And I'd also like to say good evening to myself.
Not everyone wants to see you strip naked.
It's troubling. If you guys aren't aware, tonight at 8 o'clock on this very station,
Ray Rowe,
these very airwaves, and on the ESPN New York app, you will be able to hear Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Rangers and the Lightning. And we had Steve Valiquette on the program earlier. We talked about if Tampa's gone too far with their physicality.
It is gamesmanship in the playoffs. Out of bounds, I mean, it's not the first time I've seen it. Cheap shots, yes. Is Tampa a very dirty team? They are. A lot of Stanley Cup winners over the last dozen years have been, Pittsburgh being one of my all-time favorites. They're great at it. I know it's maybe not what every fan wants to hear, but it's what the players are out there doing. They're going to slash you in the back of the legs when you're not looking, and they're going to get you over the laces on the face-off. It's a hockey play that really hurts. It's taking your stick off the ice at the face-off and whacking you on top of the foot. They're going to do all of that. Were they running at Shesterkin? Yeah.
Strong Donald, words.
I still haven't made my decision here.
You're going to bet it?
I don't know. I can't call it.
Oh, if you're on the fence, Peter, walk away.
You know what? I want to do something unprecedented. I want to bring in hardcore Ranger fan Anthony Pusick and get Anthony's take here.
Oh, Anthony bleeds blue and red. He's going to tell you to take the Rangers.
I understand that, but he's also a smart fan.
He cries on our group text when the Rangers lose.
Anthony, what's your hunch about tonight?
Well, I don't usually bet individual Ranger games. I've bet every single series they've been dogs in, which has been every series. So That's paid out nicely.
But do you have a hunch just either way for tonight, betting aside?
Injuries to Stroman and Gaudreau make me nervous, and like Don said, that's probably why the number's so high. I think they could win. The amount of money that you're saying to put down on it, I wouldn't want to be the one to give you the okay to go do that. So...
By the way, I liked our group. We are such a modest bunch of bettors that I mentioned I would bet $280 on this game.
Right, acting like your mattress Mac.
I know it's as if I said I'm dropping $10K tonight. This is all the same money. This is all the same money I put in my FanDuel account a few months ago. I've just been growing it, and now I'm betting like $250 at a time.
Because you're a great guy.
Well, let's pick apart what he said. He's a humongous Ranger fan.
Correct.
And he did not give you absolutely. He's hedging his bet, so I would not make the bet.
Well, because it's such a shame, Peter, that you know Michael renounced his fandom on the final out of the 1977 World Series.
Yep. 78.
78 World Series. Excuse me. 78 World Series. What's in it for me? It's not like a check's going to be in the mail because they won. And that was pretty much it for him.
That was the end.
So he's completely lost touch over the last 44 years of what it's like to be a fan. And even though it's ridiculous, there's this mystic feeling that Anthony believes if he says on the air he feels good about the Rangers, he's going to jinx them.
Yep.
So
is that what we're doing here, Anthony?
I don't touch the money with the Rangers.
Yeah.
Oh,
I get it.
But I do think fans have a great feel for their team more than anybody else. It's just they won't admit it out loud because they're afraid to jinx it. But strip it all away, Anthony. Strip it all away. What's your feel?
Tonight, my feel is they can win the game.
See, he throws the could in. He won't give it. He won't do it.
Are they going to win tonight? Are you expecting it or no?
Expect is so strong.
Oh, see, he's a vacillator.
It's like a disease. It really is. Like he had to throw the could in. He can't let it go. But fans get that. If you're a fan, right, Peter, he doesn't want to do it.
But I don't understand. I thought a fan would just say, yeah, they're going to win.
No,
doesn't a fan just blindly support the team?
No, it's hard to explain to somebody who just is out. It's like a different language I'm speaking to Michael.
As I sit here wearing a Rangers shirt, I mean, it's tough. I have the confidence they can win every game. But, you know, down 3-1 to the Penguins, I didn't feel great. I was talking to Peter about it. And the Hurricane series, I thought that the Hurricanes were the better team and the Rangers outplayed them. Tonight will be fun. I'll say that. And I can't wait to hear Don and Sam and not Kenny and Dave.
The gut. What does the gut say? Because the gut doesn't hedge. The gut doesn't float in between. The gut knows. Yes or no. The gut. What's it say?
Gut says I'm nervous.
Oh, great. All right. Really, I don't think he has a gut.
Freudian. He's gutless is what it is.
Is amazing. But I feel for the guy that we're putting him on that spot. It's a yes or no. He can't do it. And that shows what a true fan he is.
No, it shows what a lunatic he is.
Yeah,
no,
and by the way, in this moment, though, he is giving us a little bit of Ballard when we asked Ballard for a take on the Packers, and he said, you know, you don't always have to have an opinion.
I have a better line than Ballard.
Yeah, but that's all, really,
so
Anthony.
Sad. This is
love
sad
you.
What we've just seen.
But Gutlers, let's hear from Brian Daboll, who was asked about the Rangers.
Go Rangers.
Okay, he's going to win or what?
I hope so. Yeah.
Strong play?
Huh?
Strong.
Different press conference.
You're going to be big on that injury?
I hope so. I mean, it's
the same thing.
Like Jimmy the Greek, are they?
See, we start dissecting like fans, okay? I actually think that the fan that Peter that's like blindly loyal, they're winning tonight all the way. That's kind of a lesser fan to me than the guys like Anthony, who's afraid to like jinx it, and because I think it just shows you how diehard you are, and I have respect for Daboll for his opinion. Like he doesn't want to hang it out there and just blindly say because he's nervous because he's feeling this. He cares too much about the outcome. So I love it. I love what Anthony's doing. It makes for awful radio, I love what he's doing.
Well, but not for radio. It's milquetoast. It's a disgrace. It's almost a suspendable offense.
Wow. But he's a fan.
He's also a worker here. Give it
opinion. No. He's not paid for his analysis, and he knows hockey. It's just that his fandom's in the way. My gut says they win. My gut thinks they're the better team. Now, Strome being hurt obviously throws a wrench into the whole thing, but I'll tell you what, my gut said they were going to lose on Sunday.
Peter, don't bet it.
You know what? But it doesn't have to be. Just throw a hundred. Throw a hundy right down.
You want me to start at a hundy?
Yeah, just throw a hundy. You got 700 something
world,
in
Peter.
Your account. Throw a hundy down.
But Ballard's encouraging me to bet them with the goals. I'm not betting the puck line.
Don't
I'm
get
going
too
money
cute.
Line.
Don't get too cute.
No. It's worse odds that way. You could get them at +1.5, but the payout's terrible. It's like -180 or something.
Peter, did that lunatic ever sell the tickets that he had for Bon Iver?
Who?
That he was scalping on Twitter the other day?
The other day, Ballard posts on Twitter, Don, hey, I got a couple of tickets to Bon Iver tonight, a concert.
It sounds like French porn.
That's you're not wrong. And I he didn't say anything to me, but I saw it and simply retweeted it. Because
you're a good friend. And I sent it to you. I said, what's up with this lunatic?
No, Michael. So all Ballard says was, does anybody need two tickets to Bon Iver? And he's not a scalper, so it means he had them and couldn't use them.
Yeah, that's a nice thing to do.
So I don't even know if he was going to charge for them.
No, he said less than face value. He was charging.
Okay,
yeah, but less than face value is...
He's no saint.
No, so, but less than face value is saint worthy.
No, it's
so
not.
So then Michael sends me the tweet. In a text, and goes, "What's wrong with this fraud or something like that?" Over giving, trying to give away tickets on Twitter. I didn't understand what was fraud.
He wasn't trying to give away tickets. He was trying to sell them. Stop it.
That's still not a fraud.
But he wasn't.
That's a normal thing to do.
It's a when you can't go to an event. What?
Why would he buy Bon Iver tickets anyway? What's wrong with him?
Am I wrong?
Young man buys
Bon Iver.
People love Bon Iver.
Am I wrong to not know what the heck this is at all?
It reads like Bon Iver.
What is it, though?
It's music.
It's a band?
Yes. Bon Iver is an artist that's like, I don't know how to describe the music. I only remember Bon Iver from a Kanye feature many years ago. Never listened to any Bon Iver on my own. But they've been, but hold on. Why would you be surprised? Oh, and by the way, Mark has weighed in. It was his girlfriend's tickets. He was doing her a solid. She was not on Twitter.
So you're on so you're on social media. You can't go to an event. You're going to sell tickets for less than face value. It makes you a bad guy?
Right. That's what I'm saying. What? How did that make him a fraud?
Because
it was
reasonable. Think that once he got a bite, he was going to overcharge.
Well, that's a bold statement. You
don't
know that.
One outlier out in New York City that likes Bon Iver and was willing to go to Forest Hills, he was going to zap them with facility charges. I know people like Ballard. They're not good.
From attacking my friend to an opportunity to make Don feel awkward, I'm sure. Let's hear Kenny Albert's call, the final call of the Colorado-Edmonton series last night.
Habs control, held, out for Makar, shot stopped, rebound, Luckinen scores! The Colorado Avalanche are headed to the Stanley Cup Final!
That call was so exhausting for Kenny,
he was not able
to make it down to Tampa to do game four on 98-7.
As Michael sits here while his team is in Minnesota, Peter, to battle of two first-place teams. Think about this. Battle of two first-place teams.
I don't make the schedule.
Michael's laying out. Well, you know what? Kenny was told to stay home.
So MSG is choosing Sam over Kenny. That's
no.
That's what you're saying.
No.
Let's not.
They're
choosing Sam
over Kenny having to split himself in half to maybe get to the game on time.
Do you realize what's going on?
Commercial flights, Michael. Do you know?
Do you believe the
Do you know what's you going
yourself?
On with
That's
flight delays, cancellations? It's ridiculous out
the
there.
The lies that you tell yourself. That's all I want to
know. No, you're telling yourself lies. You're making stuff up just to get through the day.
You're smoking on an apple.
I'm the righteous one here. Peter knows it.
I think.
I think over the last couple of days, you flat out embarrassed yourself. How about that?
Wow.
No, I don't think so at all. I think I've shown what I'm made of.
Yes.
All right.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, we know what it is.
Daddy's got to work.
Let's hear from Dustin Johnson.
Why?
Because he has resigned from the PGA Tour to
compete they're calling it now?
In the LIV. Let's hear from DJ.
Obviously, at this time, it's hard to speak on what the consequences will be. But for right now, I resign my membership from the tour. I'm going to play here for now, and that's the plan. But what the consequences are going to be, I can't comment on how the tour is going to handle.
Now he was asked if he'll play the majors.
I can't answer for the majors, but hopefully they're going to allow us to play. Obviously, I'm exempt for the majors, so I plan on playing there unless I hear otherwise.
Was it tough to know that you'll now be ineligible for the Ryder Cup?
It was, but hopefully, obviously, all things are, subject to change. And, I would just have to agree with what Graham said. Hopefully, at some point it'll change and we'll be able to participate. But if it doesn't, it was another thing that I've, really had to think long and hard about. And ultimately I decided to, to come do this and, play out here. And, like I said, I'm excited about it. And, obviously the Ryder Cup is unbelievable. And it's, something that's definitely meant a lot to me. And, proud to say that I've played and represented my country. And, hopefully I'll get a chance to do that again. But, I don't make the rules. So.
Now what do you get?
Lastly, Dustin Johnson. On people saying that he chose money over country.
I chose what's best for me and my family.
Oh, thank God. Thank God there was some honesty and some, it wasn't complete, but at least, what did he get?
At least there was some modicum of truth.
Was it 150?
I think 120.
All right.
Phil got more.
$120 million. And from what I understand, you just show up to these events, you get like 125 grand. Like even if he finishes in last. So this is the way I would play it. I'll be Dustin Johnson. Ask me questions.
Dustin, obviously a lot of controversy about you leaving the PGA Tour. Why the decision to go play in the LIV?
$120 million.
Now,
right.
I told you earlier that I've changed my opinion on this.
Oh, yeah. That was a long
Oh,
piece.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I thought it was a disgusting money grab because of the atrocities that have been committed by the Saudis. Some of the atrocities. We know about Khashoggi and all that. But I started to think, you know how many American businesses that we all use are in bed with Saudi money?
I said this yesterday.
I wasn't listening to what you said, but
I've said it every time it's come up. I've said I don't know why people get so.
Why are they so backed up about this?
They take such a moral high ground. I dare you to start looking into every company you support that is also in with corrupt banks or the Saudi government or whatever.
And the United States government negotiates with the Saudis and has made deals with the Saudis. We buy oil from them. So if you the PGA Tour, I understand what they're doing. They don't want to lose their best golfers, so they're saying it's either them or us. But to demonize these people because they're taking these exorbitant amounts of money from the Saudis when so many American businesses do the same thing.
That's why I said my issue with Phil was not that he did it. It was just his approach was terrible. He downplayed the Khashoggi incident. He did things that he said it in a way that was really crass.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think anyone has a kick coming. Like, everyone's entitled to go get the money the way they're going to get it. That's whatever. But to me, to Don's point, come out and be honest. It's an obscene amount of money. And also the PGA Tour, the entire premise of that question, did you choose money over a country?
That's ridiculous.
How is the PGA Tour America? They didn't.
So when you fill your car with gas, are you choosing your comforts of life or over country?
Well,
because
the
a lot
Cup.
Of the gas you get is
yeah,
from
but
the
Ryder
Saudis.
Cup. You're not fight. The Ryder Cup isn't the U.S. Army. It's just another tour.
Hey, listen, they got golf ridiculous. In the Olympics. Are these guys playing in the Olympics?
No, some of them are, but most of them aren't.
Yeah, but a lot of them don't bother. Because it's not
joke.
Worth it. It's not financially worth it for him to do.
But then you look at Tiger Woods and Mark Cannizzaro wrote a column today. He was offered in the high nine figures to do this.
Well,
and he said no. So Phil got $200 million. They probably offered Tiger $700 million just to show up.
But can you imagine if Tiger was 27 instead of in his mid-40s and in backing out of majors because he's not 100%? He would have been offered over $1 billion and would have taken it.
I don't know, because now's the time that he should take $700 million because he's never going to win another tournament in all likelihood.
But Tiger's a billionaire, okay?
Right.
He's already a billionaire. And if you don't mind me going into wrestling vernacular, Tiger is in the baby face stage of his career. Everyone is rooting for Tiger. He is a good guy. He's had other parts of his career where he was not. He is currently working baby face. This move, while it would have been a huge sum of money, he already has more money than God.
Right. He can
and
afford.
The crowd loves him right now. Why risk a thing?
Exactly.
And Phil's probably risking it because he's gambled away a lot of his money.
But I just wonder, when you think about the just massive wealth that we have in this world, because I was thinking, like in the KHL, which is a lesser league than the NHL, but they have like former NHL players there. It doesn't make a lot of money. It's not exceptionally popular because it's not the NHL. But all the owners are so filthy rich, they throw money around like it's water, entice some players to come over. Happens in soccer all the time, too. Are we going to get to the point where you might see some filthy, disgusting billionaire who's going to say, you know what, I'll start my own baseball league. Come over and play for me, and I'll give you $50 million a year.
What do you think is happening in soccer? There's so many Saudis that own the soccer teams.
Right.
Do they rip these players for taking the money, but they're killing these golfers for taking money?
Right. So, but I'm saying we could get to a point now where the next CBA is up in Major League Baseball and some billionaire comes across and says, hey, I'll start their own league. I'll give you anything you want.
And
not care about how much money it makes because it's blank you money to them. Just the prestige of look what I was able to do. I was able to cripple Major League Baseball and bring all these guys to me. Could happen in other sports too.
I don't know if you saw this, Peter. So
I see it all.
Mickelson did an interview with a guy from SI. And admitted his gambling problems, and he's really straightened himself out. He's had therapy, blah blah blah. He's learned it got out of hand. And then the guy asked him, "Well, do you still gamble on the golf course?" Well, yeah, that makes it exciting. Well, then you still have a problem, Phil.
Okay.
Because if you're a gambler, you can't gamble at all. You can't even play lotto.
Now, to me, the more interesting part for the decision process is not about some love of country or them making judgment on if it's money they shouldn't accept from the Saudi government, whatever. To me, it's about how much money does it take to be go away money? Like, in other words, how much would you guys have to get offered to get a ton of money, but go to an irrelevant outlet? Now,
but
I don't.
It's irrelevant right now, Peter. It might not be irrelevant in a short amount of time if people keep crossing over.
You're still taking a chance, though.
I think it's going to be very tough for it to ever turn into anything resembling the relevance of the PGA. and the idea of missing out. These guys spend their whole lives chasing a green jacket, and now if it turns out they can't play in the majors, that would be tough for me to walk away from that.
No,
now listen,
no, they can play in the majors.
$120 million.
They can play in the majors, Peter. That's not right total now, irrelevancy. You can play in the majors.
No, well, Dustin, but did you hear what Dustin Johnson said earlier? That he said, I'm not sure what they're going to do, but as of now, we can play in the majors.
Right. I don't think the PGA has authority over who plays in the majors. Nobody
but
tells
it'll be interesting to see
Augusta
if
what to do.
But what if the PGA puts pressure on the majors?
Yeah, obviously, but I don't see the PGA cannot put pressure on Augusta. That's one thing they can't pressure.
Or does the LIV say, listen, I got you, I'm paying you all this money for exclusivity. I don't want you playing in a match.
No, but they've been told that they could play in the majors.
But right now, but I don't know where it's going to go. Because what good is this going to be, Michael, if they're still going to get the exposure in the major events? I'm sure they're going to want to create.
Just 4 out of 52 weeks. They can run tournaments every other week.
No, I get it. But I would think ultimately they want to compete with the PGA and create their own majors. And in order to do that, you're going to have to take away from what already exists. Well, but to the average person, as long as they're going to be able to see them in the majors, then what does it matter? I don't even have to watch the other tournaments. But if that becomes legit competition for the money that they're spending, wouldn't it be smart to tell them, oh, no, I got you exclusively. We're going to create our own Masters. We're going to create our own British Open and get you to compete in that so
well,
we can
we'll
squash
see next
the
week,
PGA.
Right, Peter? It's the PGA championship.
Well, no, the U.S. Open.
U.S. Open. And Phil, that's the one thing Phil wants to win.
So the U.S. Open has announced that players who are eligible can play in the U.S. Open. That is officially out there. Tiger Woods will not play in the U.S. Open. He's going to skip the year's third major. It's outside Boston this year, and he wants to get physically stronger for major championship golf. Essentially, we should expect him to be back at the Open Championship.
Now, Chris Carlin illuminates me. He said, USGA said today they can play in the U.S. Open next week. They can play in the Masters and the British. They can't play in the fourth major, the PGA Championship.
Well, they can't be at. Well, right. Thank you, Chris. You can't play in the one called the PGA Championship, they cannot play in. That's correct. But three of four, they can, at least for now.
Yeah, for now. We'll see how it changes.
Yeah, I don't think it's a guarantee.
I don't know
either.
How much. You know, it happens in real life. I mean, we've seen it in our business, you know, where people have made the jump. Chris Russo made the jump to satellite radio. I think his audience certainly was reduced, but he made a financial decision. He's not an obscurity, but he's certainly not what he was when he was on, you know, with Mike and Chris and all that. But, you know,
New York,
how much would it take me? You know, listen, you've got to see. But at some point, Peter, if the money, forget about fame, forget about attention.
No,
if you're
going to
get thrown
money,
that kind of money, whatever. Go
well, you know my answer, right, Peter?
Oh, yeah.
Dollar more.
No stop it. Stop
I'll
it.
Tell you one thing, though. $120 million, I think Michael's walking away from anything. Maybe his family.
No, but well, he said a dollar more.
That's hurtful.
So your contract's up at ESPN.
Right.
And for a dollar more, you can do, you know, a podcast from home for 4 hours that is going to get, you know, a tenth of the audience. You would not do that for a dollar more.
Wait a minute. A dollar more and I have to do a podcast once a week?
No, I didn't say once a week. I said 4 hours a day.
No.
Do the same thing.
No.
Because the golf they're playing is the same golf.
Right.
Yeah, because then you're making a decision. Sport. If I got to do something once a day as opposed to 5 days a week, yeah, of course. But I'm saying the exact same thing for a dollar more, you wouldn't do it for a dollar more. $100,000 more? Different story. $100 million? I'll stand in the corner for the rest of my life.
Like the Blair Witch.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Let's hear second time today.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's hear Sean McVay on the I Am Athlete podcast talking about Odell Beckham Jr. crashing his wedding.
The most stressful thing about this wedding was figuring out, all right, how do you get the guest list right where you don't have any sort of interruptions or, you know, anybody having their feelings hurt unnecessarily because you got good relationships with guys. So I just invited the captains from last year's team. And then there was a couple other guys that are retired players that you still have great relationships with. And Odell and I had a great relationship. I mean, I love Odell. And so only in Odell's fashion could he be the wedding crasher at our wedding. So yeah. O showed up, crashed the wedding, and yes. I loved it that he was still there. He is, you know, even my mom, she said, oh, he's so nice. And God, he is handsome in person, too. I mean, I said, mom, he's
Odell. While Odell crashed a wedding, I'm sure there was a moment where he said, coach, come get me.
The best part. No, I said, you crashed my wedding. You resign with the Rams then, man. I mean, you get that's a given right there.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
You're the coach of a team that just won the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
There are 53 guys on your team. You right. invite every single person to your wedding.
Yeah, because you've got constraints. The reason why it's so stressful is we can only afford the room for 400 people.
I don't know.
You give Peter, it's not that big of a deal when money is no object to fit 50 more people into your
But hold on. You can't have the number be 1,000 people, okay? He doesn't want that. Like, why would his wife
But how do we
that?
Know that he was at, like, 950?
I'm not saying that. My point is, if you invite 53 people.
Right.
You know.
So that's 106.
That's 106 people. What about that could be at the expense of people you're actually close with who are going to be in your life, even if they get without getting traded. There are people here who will never talk to again.
First of all, there's almost no shot that all of them would be able to go, especially during the offseason. They're all over the country. So, but you can at least get a gauge of, hey, how many guys would go to my wedding if I invite you? I'm sure it wouldn't be more than 25.
Right, so how many captains are there? 6 in a football team?
Yeah.
He invited 12 extra people out of his football team?
Yeah.
That's a little odd, man. And I go, you know what? To a much lesser extent, every time that I have some kind of barbecue here, I invite people I don't even want to look at. But it's just
Michael had a whole
thing you have to do.
Leave Brouncher out of this.
An entire table of people he just completely was disgusted with.
Disgusted
he,
to look
at. He did
at.
The right thing.
Honestly, I really ardently disagree with this. I look back at my wedding and go, there are quote-unquote friends I had at that time in my life that I'm going, why was that person at my wedding? And why would you want to do that with 39 football players who you're never going to
talk
to?
Because they're your players. You just won a Super Bowl with them.
It's a wedding. This isn't part of the football season. I mean,
everything
you think the 22-year-olds are really going to be offended they didn't get invited
to
this
40-year-old
man's
wedding?
They
don't want to go. I don't think Coach would be offended if they declined the invitation. But you wedge it into, all right, how big a room do you want? And he says, well, listen, I got 53 guys to help me win a Super Bowl. I'm inviting all of them. I'm not saying they're all going to go. And then you decide the room from there. So instead of maybe having a room of 400 people, you have a room for 500 people.
Have you seen Sean McVay's wife?
Yeah.
I can only
what
imagine.
What if she said, no, Don, let me tell you something. You can't imagine.
Small show.
And if she said, sorry, you can't invite the team. I'm sure he'd go, babe.
Well, but why would
that's
she
a real
say
good
that.
Relationship to get into, isn't it, Peter?
But why would she say that?
Maybe it's just too many people. She doesn't want a wedding that big. She didn't dream about having 53 practical strangers at her wedding. Who knows? You know what? Let's settle this by going back to this
day. You know what, Don? Here, I want to tell you one thing, Don. Let me interrupt Peter here. I don't think if Peter gets married again, I don't think we're invited. I think we're just extraneous parts of his life.
You think that's the setup? That's why
yeah,
I'm setting the precedent.
I think that this is what you're setting up
that's
right now.
That's a good question.
Yeah, we are not getting invited.
Honestly, I don't expect to be invited. I think the second wedding would be scaled down a bit, and I don't think we'd make the cut.
I think wedding would be an extravaganza, bacchanal. That's what I think.
Oh, really?
Well, hold on. But Don, you guys weren't at the first wedding, so...
I didn't know you.
That's my point.
And I'll make another prediction, Don. If he gets married, like, in 2 years, and I decide that in those 2 years it's time for me to walk away, I won't even know. He won't even alert me. By the way,
no.
We're getting married.
If I am lucky enough to marry Miss Hatton and have a wedding to plan, I don't know what size it would be, but I know that assuming it's a wedding in which guests are invited, like it's a regular wedding in any way, you guys would absolutely be invited.
Yeah, the hard not the part justice gets, of the peace or on some boat.
The only
somewhere.
Reason I'm getting invited, Don, is because he knows I'm a good gift giver. That's the reason.
I have heard that. But I the question is where you cut off the line outside
Brouncher.
Of you guys. Oh, no, Brouncher's out. Brouncher's out. I didn't get invited to Brouncher's wedding.
And also, after Pusick's performance today, he's out.
We're way past the clock time.
Oh, all right, go, Anthony. Well, back, I don't know. Maybe. I don't think.
On this day, back in 1994.
Pavel Bure getting set. Everyone on their feet at Pacific Coliseum. Here comes Bure against Mike Richter. Saved by Richter! What a save by Mike Richter to stop Pavel Bure. They're going wild at the Garden. The Rangers here at Pacific Coliseum congratulate Mike Richter on a fabulous save.
Penalty shot.
There you have it. The great Sam Rosen on the call. That'll do it for ENN. It's brought to you by Sloman's Call, the 1-800-ALARM-ME. Get a free doorbell camera with the installation of your Sloman Shield. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME.
You know what I have here in my greasy little hands, right?
Mets.
You have a Met lineup.
You know me so well, Donnie. Here is tonight's Mets starting lineup against the Padres, and it's brought to you by Nissan. Nimmo leads off play center, Marte in right, Lindor at short, Alonso at first, McNeil at left, Escobar, the cycle king, at third, Guillorme, the second baseman, about seventh, batting eighth. Nick Plummer is the DH, and Patrick Mazika will catch, and he is going to bat ninth. That's the Mets starting lineup against the Padres tonight, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store on NissanUSA.com.
You give good lineup.
Thank you. Joe Maddon been fired by the Angels, and he said something in an interview with Kenny Rosenthal that's going to resonate with a lot of fans. We'll come back and tell you what that is right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.